Integrated.
What do you mean?
Too many of us struggle to integrate our faith into our lives.
Is it both?
When the head is full, but the heart is empty, the soul becomes cold and lifeless.
So it's both, together.
This is the integration where faith finds its true power.
Oh, now I get it.
Welcome to Integrated, where theology and life come together. And now your host, all the way from Sharpsburg, Georgia. This is Dr. John Kreutz.
Welcome to Integrated. Today, we're going to talk about being saved. One time, R.C. Sproul was walking on his college campus, and a zealous evangelist came up to him and said, "Are you saved?" And R.C., of course, he's always had a clever response. He responded to the guy, "Saved from what?" And I think the guy was kind of frozen in his steps, because sometimes I think the word salvation can be just a part of our Christianese, and we just sort of assume it means good things, and we're not exactly sure what that means. What exactly are we saved from? Is this just Christian lingo in your own mind, or do you have some clarity about what salvation is all about, even with some precision? Because that helps us, obviously, as we read the Bible. You know, what are some other words that you could just substitute for the word saved? I mean, if you just think about it in the regular way we would use the word, it could actually just mean rescued or delivered. And you kind of go, huh. If the guy walked up to RC on that college campus and said, "Are you rescued?" You'd say, that seems a little strange. And RC's question actually makes a whole lot of sense. Am I rescued from what? And so it's good for us to think a little more carefully about how we use the word saved and salvation, because obviously this is an important word and we don't just make it up as part of Christian lingo. It comes straight from the Bible. But the Bible uses the word saved in the Hebrew Old Testament and the Greek New Testament in different ways. So let's see if we can become a little more precise, so that if we're on the college campus and we ask someone that question, "Are you saved?" and they say, "Saved from what?" we might have a good response for them. Well, I think first of all, we just need to admit and say right off the bat, sometimes the word does mean rescue. And it means it from physical adversaries, physical opponents. Like if you were drowning in a lake and somebody came and threw you a rope or an inner tube and you grabbed a hold of it, you would be saved. You would be rescued. You would be delivered from the lake. Well, the Bible uses the word saved in that way. Here's kind of an obvious one. And lots of times it's obvious if you're just reading your Bible and you were reading in Exodus chapter 14, verse 30. "Thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore." Of course, that's coming when they were coming through the Red Sea. And so that's great. Well, the Bible uses that word saved like that a lot of times. I think sometimes we spiritualize it. When it's not so clear and obvious from the context, especially if we pluck a verse out of its context and put it on our coffee mug, then we go, "Oh, isn't that sweet?" And I think we're maybe putting some spiritual spin on what the Bible is talking about. Let me give you an example. Psalm 25, verse 5. See if this would look good on your coffee mug. "Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long." Ah, yes, yes. That's good. That you could write that on an index card. You could memorize it, put it on your bathroom mirror. And that's a great thing to think about. And is there wonderful truth in Psalm 25:5? Absolutely. But when the psalmist, when David is saying, "You are the God of my salvation," is he thinking of spiritual salvation, like our right standing before God and things like that? Well, if you go just a couple of verses earlier in the exact same psalm, here's how it starts. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me. Wait a minute. Let not my enemies exult over me. What does it mean when your enemy is exulting over you? Well, they won. They beat you in battle. They defeated you. And now they're having a party. And David is saying, don't let that happen. And then just a couple of verses later, he says, you are the God of my deliverance. Maybe that means deliverance from those enemies. He doesn't want them having their victory celebration over top of him. And so he cries out to the Lord to rescue him, to save him, to deliver him. Well, that maybe is just in the Old Testament, but does the New Testament use the word saved like that? Well, it certainly can. The Greek word for saved or salvation, sozo, it comes up and it can be used like that in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. Here's one. Again, I think it's kind of obvious as you just read the context. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. Now, some people think of Noah's ark as a great picture of spiritual salvation. And in some ways, it certainly does make a good illustration of that, as God sent the flood to wipe out sinful humanity and his rebellious creatures. He did save Noah. And that kind of, you think of God's wrath coming and being spiritually saved. But here, the author of Hebrews is clearly referring to physical salvation. Noah obeyed God by faith, and his family was delivered from the flood, rescued from the flood. He was saved from the flood. Therefore, Noah was still alive. Now, that's certainly true. So the word salvation can just mean delivered, and it can just mean physically, but there is a true spiritual meaning where we are rescued from the wrath of God by Jesus, his person, and his work. And I think when Jesus is talking to Zacchaeus, and in Luke 19, verse 10, he says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost," he's talking about not just rescuing Zacchaeus from being too short to see him and stuck up in a tree, and I'm rescuing you by going to your house today. No, no. He was spiritually rescuing that tax collector, Zacchaeus. And in the book of Acts, wonderful verse. This would be a good one for you to memorize if you haven't already. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Of course, he's talking about Jesus in verse 11 of Acts chapter 4. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And he says it, and there is salvation in no one else. Right? So salvation is through the name of Jesus. It's because of Jesus, his person. He is the God-man. His work, he lived perfectly. He perfectly obeyed every one of God's commandments in his earthly ministry. He did all things well. But then when he died on the cross, he died as a substitute for sinners. God poured his wrath out on Jesus so that Jesus could offer you free forgiveness and pardon. He could trade out your wretched sin for his righteousness, his purity, his right standing before God. What a gift. That is a fantastic thing. And that truly is what spiritual salvation is all about. Not by earning God's favor, but by receiving it by faith. By putting your trust in Jesus, you receive this gift of righteousness. Who is this for? Well, Paul says to Titus in Titus 2:11, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people." The offer of salvation goes to everyone everywhere. So what are you saved from? Saved from what? R.C. Sproul asked. Well, you're actually saved from God. Well, that sounds strange, doesn't it? Jesus is saving me from God? Yeah, but if you know your sin and you know your state, you know that you deserve God's wrath, every ounce of it poured out on your account, on account of your sin. You deserve it to be poured out on you in hell for all eternity. Well, I need to be rescued from that. I need to be rescued not just from a physical lake, but from the lake of fire, from hell. And that's what Jesus rescues you from. That's what Jesus saves you from if you put your trust in him. This salvation is not just given to everyone. It is given to those who see their need and who trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior. Well, we need to take a break now. And when we come back, we'll talk more about different aspects of salvation as revealed in the scriptures.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Kratz in just a moment. You know, I was thinking as he was talking about salvation that the question that he asked, saved from what, that kind of hits home. I mean, seriously, have you sat and thought about it? Put a really significant amount of time, uninterrupted thought into that question. Look, if you're interested in digging deeper into that conversation about salvation, you got to check out A Gospel Primer by Milton Vincent. It's available now in the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org, but this is a book that will help you rehearse the gospel every day, not just Christian lingo, but really understanding justification and what it means to be rescued from God's wrath through Jesus. Pick up A Gospel Primer by Milton Vincent, available in the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. By the way, if you've not downloaded the Fortis Plus app yet, oh, you need to do it. It's free. Seriously, it doesn't cost you anything, and you're going to get a ton of content every day. 7 new pieces of audio and video content are loaded daily. Now, I'm pretty partial to the daily news, but I also love the director's cuts and hot takes as well. Just search for Fortis Plus wherever you get your apps. And I know it can be a little bit overwhelming. Just become a Fortis Insider. Every day, we're going to send you an email with the new posts that hit Fortis Plus. Also, becoming a Fortis Insider, well, you get the information first when we have webinars coming up or sales in the Fortis store. All you have to do is sign up at fortisinstitute.org. Look, here's the deal. For 25 years, this ministry has been doing what it's been doing. Starting as Wretched Radio, then to Gospel Partners Media, now we're Fortis Institute. So the names have changed, but our mission never has. We want to help you take biblical truth and actually use it in real life. It's not a lot of places that do that. They can tell you what the Bible says, but how to integrate that into your life, that's usually where they fall short. And Dr. Kratz teaches us how to integrate our understanding of salvation into everyday thinking. And look, honestly, we need your help to keep this going. 83 cents of every dollar you're able to give goes directly into creating content like this broadcast. And as we say all the time, make sure your local church giving comes first. That's priority number one. But if God has blessed you with a little extra, we would love and be honored to have you partner with us. Super easy to do. Just head to fortisinstitute.org right now to find out how. All right, let's get back to Dr. John Kratz as he continues to talk about the different aspects of salvation. This is Integrated. Welcome back to Integrated.
It has to go from a theory, a concept, or even a theology. It has to move our hearts.
And now back to your host, Dr. John Kratz.
Welcome back. Today on Integrated, we are talking about what it means to be saved. And what we've said is, there in the Bible even can be a physical type of salvation where you're delivered or you're rescued. Even though as Christians, we often load up that word salvation with a spiritual meaning, and sometimes we can't even describe it very precisely. We need to understand what the word means and how the word is used in the Bible so that we can have a better understanding of the significance of our salvation. We've just come upon a big anniversary as I'm recording these words of the Holocaust. And decades ago, the Allied forces came into Germany and Poland. And as they defeated the Nazis and the Axis powers, they came upon these death camps like Auschwitz and others, and they found survivors. Obviously, 6 million Jews were killed during the Holocaust, but some survived. And what an amazing thing that was. The soldiers said they looked like skeletons walking. And obviously, if the rescuers hadn't come, those that were trapped in these death camps would have died like the others, whether it be by just, you know, exhaustion, or whether it had been in the gas chamber or some other means that they would be put to death. Well, you could see where they would see the Allied soldiers as deliverers or even saviors, rescuers from certain death if they had continued on. So the Bible uses the word like that. And what we were learning in our first segment of this episode is that we need spiritual salvation. We are in a far more precarious place than even those Jews in Auschwitz. We are in a place of deserving God's wrath for eternity, not just a death that would lead to eternity, not just unjust suffering, but real spiritual wrath, rightly deserved, justly deserved because of our sins. We deserve God's wrath poured out on us. And so when we trust in Jesus, we are rescued. We are saved. And so that fellow who asked R.C. Sproul on the college campus that day, "Are you saved?" Well, it rightly understood, that's a great question to ask a non-Christian because they need to know that they deserve God's wrath. I mean, so many people walking around college campuses today have no idea that they are in the concentration camp, the spiritual concentration camp. They have no idea. They're just bumping along. And yet God's wrath is upon them, accumulating day by day, minute by minute, as they keep sinning with their eyes, with their lips, with their mouths. I guess that would be the same as the lips, right? But you know what I mean? We're sinning with our words. We're sinning by our actions, by our attitudes, and even the thoughts of our heart can be sinful and guilty and deserving of God's just wrath. We need to be saved. Well, there are time aspects to the way the Bible uses the word salvation. The Bible uses the word in the past tense, the present tense, and the future tense. And so it's kind of striking the first time you realize that. I think the way we usually think about it is kind of that past tense way of thinking about it. Here's a good example. Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9. "For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast." Okay, you have been saved. You're already rescued. You know, so are you saved? That's a great question to ask. That's a completely legitimate question. And so we're thinking in terms of justification by faith alone. We're thinking of adoption. Yes, we are already, our legal standing is, I am forgiven. I am declared righteous because of Christ and because I've trusted in Him. I've been given the gift of salvation. It is mine. It's in my bank account already. I'm already adopted as a child of the King. That's wonderful. So past tense, are you saved? Yes, indeed, I am, because I've trusted in Jesus. But then you read along in your Bible, and there's a few of these references that look like salvation is kind of more of a present tense thing. It's not just something that happened in the past. It's something that's happening right now. So if I was reading in 1 Corinthians, and I got to chapter 1, verse 18, I would read these words: "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." I'm being saved. I thought I was already saved. Then you get to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 2. Paul says in verse 1, he's reminding them of the gospel that he preached, you know, which you received, in which you stand. And then verse 2, "and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." I'm being saved. And I think the most amazing one is perhaps Paul's letter to the Philippians in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, where he says these words: "Therefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure." Wait a minute. Ephesians chapter 2 told me I was not saved by my works. I was saved by grace through faith in Jesus and his work. But here I'm said to work out my salvation. That sounds like what he was talking to the Corinthians about, being saved. Well, that's a reference to sanctification. Yes, you are saved legally, but practically you still have a sinful flesh that you are living this out in a sinful world attacked by the devil. We have spiritual enemies, and we need to work out our salvation into real life. That's the process of sanctification, becoming more and more like Jesus throughout our Christian life, using the means of grace, reading our Bibles, praying, interacting with our church family. This is the way we work out our salvation, to where our practice becomes more and more like our legal standing. But if that wasn't surprising enough, then we find verses like this in Romans chapter 5, where salvation seems to be something that's going to happen in the future. Romans chapter 5, 9 and 10. "Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life." Oh, there's a salvation still coming. How about that? And then in Romans chapter 13, verse 11, "besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep, for salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed." How about that? And of course, Philippians 1:6, "he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it unto the day of Christ Jesus." And Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. Here we kind of get references to both sides, two different time aspects of salvation. "So Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many," okay, bore my sins already, I'm already saved, "will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him." Salvation in the future is glorification. It's when Jesus comes back. It's when all of our salvation we're striving to work out will be completed. In that day, we will be glorified. The Holy Spirit will make up all the shortfalls so that our legal standing and our actual standing, our actual life, our actual practice match up completely. No more sin. No more leftovers of sin in this fallen world. We will be like Jesus. We won't even be tempted. Oh, that's a glorious thought. All of our efforts to praise God, to keep our eyes on Jesus and then not sink when we look at the wind and the waves. All of that will be true for us for all eternity when we are finally, fully, ultimately saved, delivered. We praise God for this glorious truth. So my friend, as you listen to the end of our episode today, are you saved?
This has been Integrated from Dr. John Krotz, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Integrated with Dr. John Krotz, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.